So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie, and if I'm being honest, you sound like shit, Dan.
I do. I'm a little sick right now.
You lost wind, or like you ran out of gas near the end of that, and like the part where you're supposed to be giving your accolades, it was like you were sick of them.
Yeah.
Author of How to Fight Presidents, and like getting bored in the middle of it. I think it's just because you might be sick. But yes. Yeah, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm reminded, just hearing that introduction, of the very first one of these that I think we ever recorded. I'm not even sure it aired, but I had said, you're my best friend on it. And you, it was like somebody had told you that they love you, and you weren't sure how you felt yet. And you were like, oh, that's okay. That's cool. and I'd really put myself out there. And at this point now, well, you know, it's certainly better for the podcast if we're best friends. So you've decided to start saying it. And I'm I'm just remembering what it was like when we began this whole process. And maybe we became best friends during it. Thanks to Truebill for supporting our podcast. From forgotten free trials to automatic renewals, when big companies keep charging you, Truebill is your secret weapon to save you money on subscriptions you don't need. Go right now, truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year. Thanks to Everlywell for supporting Quick Question. Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. Thanks to Manly Bands for supporting Quick Question. Manly Bands helps men find wedding bands that fit their personality and their budget with unique and stylish designs. To get 25% off your Manly Band now through Cyber Monday, go to manlybands.com/QQ or use promo code QQ at checkout. Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Make the restroom your best room with the complete Tushy system, including the Tushy bidet attachment, Ottoman toilet brush, and Tushy stand and tissues. Get 10% off plus free shipping at hellotushy.com/QQ.
It's still, so the thing is, it's weird to me that you like me, that you consider me your best friend. That
be the case.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why. I bring nothing to this relationship.
That's not true at all. Oh, Dan, this is what I've been trying to get you to realize for so long with women, is like, you're a catch, my friend. Like, people want to be your friend. When we would go to events for Cracked back in the day, not only were there women who would come to you shaking and be like, well, do you drink coffee? Do you want to do that with me? Like, that kind of, like, so nervous.
And no, then, yeah, like, shaking women were always asking if I wanted to drink coffee on them.
And then also, every single person who came up to our, wherever we were, our podium or whatever, the thrones, anyone who came up to your throne was like, I just wanted to be your friend so badly, just from like what they had seen online. And it was so clear that like they thought that you guys would be really good friends. And it's because you are a very easy person to get along with and like.
That's very nice of you to say. I don't think I necessarily agree with it, but it does segue neatly into what I wanted to talk about at the start of this episode, which is, you said I sounded like shit.
Yeah.
So it feels worth pointing out that Soren, your buddy, me, Daniel, I have COVID.
Oh my God.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about learning that about me?
I'm just sort of railing right now. You are so careful.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm railing for selfish reasons. Like, well, if he can get it, anyone can. But also, I'm a little worried about you. That you hadn't had your booster yet then?
No.
And how are you doing?
I don't think I was allowed to get a booster yet. I don't think.
Okay. So when did this happen? Give me a timeline.
This happened, so to begin with, for anyone who is listening, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I went to a restaurant in New York with five friends, and we all got it. Every single one of us got it. We were all vaccinated. We all sat down in a restaurant in New York where you're not allowed to go to a restaurant if you're not vaccinated. So it's presumably the safest place on the planet, but
yeah,
we still all got it.
Okay. Indoor-outdoor seating? Where indoor. Were you? Indoor seating. With
because you,
friends.
On this fucking podcast, you told me that I should go and live my life.
I really, yeah, I know. And immediately you got COVID.
I did.
Was your, okay. And did everyone like get it at the exact same time? Every single one of you was like, no, okay, I got it. No, I got it too. I just got it too. Or no, was so, there so, one person who was like, I'm getting over it.
There's five of us, and two of us just thought we had colds. Like, and I'm one of those persons. I really thought, it never even occurred to me to get tested because I was just like, oh, I met up with friends, and then a few days later I had a cold. I had like a stuffy nose, and so I took a few days off running, and that's the only impact this had on my life at all. Which is like a few days not running. And then I had a day where my friend texted me and she said, hey, I have COVID and two of the other people that we were with also have COVID. So you should get tested. And I got that text after I'd run 6 miles. So I'm like, there's no fucking way that there's anything wrong with my lungs because 6 miles, bro. So I got tested. Rapid test was negative, PCR was positive.
Okay, so the rapid test is antigens, right? That's like whether you've already got antibodies for it.
What do you mean? I don't know. Both tests, they put a thing up my nose.
Oh, I think the rapid tests generally are measuring whether you have antibodies in your system. So you'd have to have had it for a while and your body would already have to be creating antibodies for it. Like you can't go get that, I don't think, immediately after getting your vaccine because it'll show up as having antigens. But,
oh. Because I asked the doctor who examined me. I was like, if I get a negative rapid test, what are the odds that the rapid test is wrong and I have a positive PCR test? And the doctor was like, very slim to none. If you have a negative rapid test, you're probably fine.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And you were in the slim to none group.
Yeah.
Dan, I'm sorry that happened. Okay. Any other symptoms since then?
No, just a cold. Kind of. I went back and looked at some jokes that I submitted for work. And it was very clear to me that I had COVID brain. I had like some kind of level of fog of incoherence. Like I looked at things that I had written and submitted and was like, oh no.
Okay. So the jokes weren't worse. They were worse, not just like different.
Yeah.
Because that can happen too. Where I remember in college being in a play and one night going on when I had like a fever of 103 and thinking, this is a bad idea. But doing it anyway and just like leaning into the sickness. And at the end, people were like, people who, you know, worked on the show, they were like, whoa, you went somewhere else completely today. I was like, yeah, should I keep doing it this way? Should I just stay sick? So I think you could go either way, but that's very funny. That yeah. It's like you come back to it later and you realize, oh no, this is,
yeah,
these logic leaps don't make any sense. Oh, that's a bummer. Can you taste?
Yeah. I can taste, yeah. So the people that I was with, they had like really bad symptoms. There was muscle soreness and fever and loss of taste and smell and just like a really bad time. And I had none of those things. I'm very lucky that I got through it without any of those like horrible symptoms.
Yeah. And so are you just locked away?
Yeah. That's one of the things that I want COVID to be normalized a bit more. I think the future that we're heading towards is COVID is as normal as getting a cold or getting the flu, where like you wouldn't you wouldn't isolate someone who got the cold. That's just like a normal part of life. Right now, it's not that. No. I reach out to friends and I'm like, hey, I know we were planning on hanging out, but real quick, I got the novel coronavirus. Is it cool if he comes? Do you want to still hang out? And they're like, absolutely not. No one wants to see me. I'm a leper right now. It's very sad.
It's like having a friend in town who everyone else hates in your friend group.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Is it cool if they tag along? Oh, no. I mean, absolutely not. I'm sorry. That sucks. You can't run either.
No, they told me. You know what they told me? They told me to wear a mask around Jackson.
What?
Yeah.
So that he... Wait, dogs can get coronavirus?
Yeah, apparently.
How is this not news? Wait, can we get it from dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Dogs.
Have you been kissing a lot of dogs?
I mean, just the pretty ones. Oh, God, I didn't think about that possibility. Why is nobody talking about that?
I don't know.
Okay, so I wonder if my cat had corona. So, okay, a lot of questions here.
Yeah.
Are you wearing a mask around Jackson, or are you just like...
No, I just decided, like, if he's going to get it, then he's got it.
Yeah.
And that's it, period.
There are times where we had, over this whole pandemic, where we've had scares where, like, I ran into somebody out in the wild who sneezed near me or did something crazy, and or I wasn't careful about washing my hands, and then I touched my face, or I found out somebody in proximity to me had COVID. And what you're supposed to do in those circumstances is start wearing a mask around your children and wearing a mask in the house. And I tried that for a day, and I was like, this is just untenable. I can't wear a mask in my house.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I will keep my distance from you for as long as I can, but if I've got it, you're getting it.
Yeah. You know, one thing about it is how embarrassing it is, and like they I've never had to, knock on wood, thank God, I've never had like a sexually transmitted disease that I've had to like go to past partners and inform them about. But there was an element of that with this where I had to like reach out to people and be like, hey, I have COVID and I was near you, so you should get tested. It's super embarrassing. It's very unpleasant.
What are they saying? Are they, do they, they're trying to be nice about it, but also you could just tell that they're like, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, they're like, we're walking right up to Thanksgiving. So it's super inconvenient to anyone.
Yes.
The possibility of having COVID is so unpleasant right now.
Everybody's about to get on planes.
Yeah.
And have you, since you got it, have you had, were even wearing a mask, were you like within 6 feet of another person since then?
No, that was a very humbling thing with, New York is great with the tracing sensation. They want to know where you've been, where you're going, what you've done. And it was very humbling for me to talk on the phone with a professional. And they're like, so what have you done in the last 2 weeks? And I'm like, nothing. Like, no, but like, have you gone to restaurants or clubs or done anything? I'm like, nope. I sat in my apartment this whole time.
Yeah. And what are you doing with Jackson? You got to take him for walks. Are you just cruising past people and trying to give him a wide berth?
Yes.
God, this sucks, man.
Yeah.
And how much longer do you have on this?
I'm done. I'm out of my isolation window at this point.
Okay. Well, that's good. And you've had some negative tests since then?
No, because you can't you'll get a bunch of false positives if you get tested after you have it.
Oh. Oh, I guess that's right.
They don't recommend getting tested for like 90 days.
So my dad got it. My dad has a disease that makes him fall down a lot, and he fell one day and was complaining to my mom that he had a sore hip, and she was like, well, you can barely walk, I think we should go to the hospital. And he was like, no, it'll just heal up overnight. I'm like, gargoyles from gargoyles. And then he, the next, in the middle of the night, he was like, I have to go to the hospital. It hurts so bad. And she had to kind of like carry him to the car. They went there. He had broken his hip right before Christmas. And then while he was in the hospital, got COVID from the hospital and was stuck in the hospital in like a special room where, because they still need to treat him for this secondary thing that's going on. They can't release him because he's got COVID. And it's torture for him. He's in this bed where if he gets out of the bed, he's on, there's a little monitor attached to him that will start beeping incessantly to let them know, like, you're not allowed to leave. You're not allowed to leave this room. This is this quarantine room. And he's getting these terrible meals in styrofoam containers that are just like cold eggs, cold watery eggs and stuff like that. There's a tube television in the room that has like six channels. And he said it was just like prison. Like, it was just complete torture because you're not allowed to do shit. And there's you can't sleep for very long because there's constantly people coming in a bunch of PPE to check on you. He's supposed to be starting physical therapy, but he can't do any of that. So he's doing it over his phone, where like, he's holding his phone and somebody's telling him what to be doing for physical therapy. Yeah. It was just a complete nightmare for him. And it made me think of like, having COVID is bad. It can be very, very bad. But for most of us, I think the worst part about having COVID is that you're done with society for 2 weeks. Yeah. And that's really, really tough to take.
Yeah, it is. And it's not normalized enough at this point that it's not embarrassing. Like, I felt so embarrassed that I got it, even though I'm not taking crazy risks or anything like that. I went to dinner with a friend of mine, and five people sat at a table in New York, were all vaccinated, and we all got it. Yeah. So there's no reason to be embarrassed, but I was still like fucking humiliated by it, because previously the only people who got COVID in my brain were morons. And now I'm one of the morons.
There is part of it having been politicized, which is a very much a negative, is that it's considered basically a moral failing.
Yes,
on the left, it's like, if you get it, you fucked up, because we all got vaccinated, and like, these breakthrough cases are just happening, man. And you can't explain all of that to the people who you've seen previously. Like, I saw you yesterday, I have to let you know, first of all, I'm vaccinated. I'm on your team. Everything's fine. But I did still get it. And I wasn't being reckless. It just happened.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. Sorry that happened.
That's all right.
Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? Because it's a business scam. That's part of it's baked into how they make money. They want you to forget that you have a subscription, because then you will keep paying it with an automatic bill payment. And you will never even think about it, because $6.99 or like $3.99 from your account every single month, it's not going to really register with you. But in the long run, you end up paying so much money for a subscription you're not using. If you're suffering from way too many subscription syndrome, there is a way out, and you don't even have to talk to anyone. Let Truebill do the work and set you free. Average users save $720 a year using Truebill. Think about what you could do with that $720. You could buy 10 new subscriptions to stuff you won't use. By law, most states don't have to disclose when subscriptions renew, so you have to get a hold of your subscriptions through Truebill. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need. You know companies are making canceling subscriptions hard on purpose. Well, Truebill simplifies it. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions, so you don't have to. You have ever tried to cancel on one of these places and they make you talk to somebody on the phone, let's say, they're going to make it tough on you. Their whole job is to make sure that you stick around. And sometimes that's just by wearing you down. It's just not even offering you new incentives. It's just like getting you so tired of being on the phone that you'll give up. Well, now you've got somebody else on your team who's going to help you. As the connoisseurs listening will know, I do a fair amount of hiking, and so I belong to a number of websites that have told me about different trails in my area. Now, in signing up for those, I get a free trial generally that will give me a little map, and I'm not considering the fact that in 7 days, I'm now a member, and they're going to be charging me annually. And then, because it's annually, I don't ever remember when that's going to roll around, so immediately I'm charged again, and then I think, well, it would be silly to cancel now. because I still have the whole rest of the year that I could be using this. And then it'll come around again and bam, I get hit again. Then I started using Truebill and Truebill reminded me when that was going to come up and I got to cancel it on time. I feel like a new man. I feel free. 40% of people recently said that they're overwhelmed by the number of subscriptions that they pay for. The other 60% probably forgot that they subscribed in the first place. If you're not sure how to take control of your subscriptions, you need Truebill. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at truebill.com/QQ. Go right now. truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year. truebill.com/QQ. Take a moment to check in with your body wherever you are right now and think about how you're feeling today. What's feeling good? What's feeling bad? Happiness writes white, right? So the majority of the time when things are going right, you're not even thinking about your body. And that's the bar. That's where you want to be. But the minute something isn't going wrong, man, it's just like having a pebble in your shoe. You've got a little headache, you're achy somewhere, something doesn't feel right in your tummy. These things, they destroy your whole day. They change your whole mood around. So if the answer is anything less than great when you ask yourself, how am I feeling? It's time to learn more and demand better for your body. Take control of your health and well-being with an at-home lab test from Everlywell. There are certain things in life that are difficult to understand, but knowing how to feel your best shouldn't be one of them. Everlywell can help you learn more about your body so that you can finally take control of your health and wellness on your own time. Everlywell offers affordable, at-home lab tests that give you trusted physician-reviewed results. You can choose from tests including food sensitivity, metabolism, sleep and stress, thyroid, and so much more. It's opening the door to your own wellness. Here's how it works. You go to everlywell.com/QQ and you choose your test. Everlywell ships your test straight to your door with everything you need to get started. You return that test to a SLELA certified lab with a prepaid shipping label, and then your physician reviewed results and insights are sent to your device in just days. I was finding myself getting a lot of headaches lately, and it got to the point where I thought, this isn't something I'm just going to tolerate the rest of my life. I need to figure this out. And so I used Everlywell. I got an easy at-home lab test, sent it in, got my results in days, and the results were genuinely helpful. They opened this door to me that made me realize what I needed to do to get better. And that's the first step. That's what you need. Over 1 million people have trusted Everlywell with their at-home lab testing. And for listeners of the show, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. That's everlywell.com/QQ for 20% off your at-home lab test.
Anyway, should we get into the show?
Yeah, I guess we should.
Okay, so there's this game that we're trying to play called Dangerous Bangers. I'll remind everyone the rules of Dangerous Bangers. You make someone watch a movie that you watched in your youth that you loved, but you're not sure if it holds up, and they watch it for the first time and see if they like it or not. The last time we checked in, I watched Monster Squad, and I liked it. Soren, I have asked to watch the movie French Kiss. He is now doing what I can comfortably say is Daniel O'Brien cosplay, which is to say that he is hanging out in libraries asking for French Kiss.
That sounds terrible. this game has turned into like cricket, where it's like multiple days. It should take 2 hours to play this game.
Yeah.
And like really get solid answers. And this has taken us weeks to play because yes. I ran into so many problems getting a hold of the movie French Kiss. It's crazy how hard it is to get a hold of in the world, unless for some reason you're somebody who listens to the show and a Twitter follower of ours, in which case you're just taking pictures of your version of the movie on DVD and being like, I have it. Let me send it to your home address.
Correct.
Nobody do that.
But have you found French Kiss at this point?
Yes. Yeah.
Where?
I went back to the Culver City Library because I was in line for the movie and asked about it. And they said, no one has returned it yet. And I was like, what? How long have these people had this movie? And they were like, oh. And they're like, well, looks like the longest one has been a few months. So somebody's just got these movies and like they fucked off.
Sure.
And I think this happens constantly with DVDs at the library. And I don't know why they didn't just tell me this when I got there. But I was like, can you look at the, like, LA County library system and see if any other libraries have it. And they said, yes, it looks like it's in Marina Del Rey, which isn't super far from me. And I was like, okay. I called them. I said, do you have it? And they're like, well, let me go check on the shelf. Yes, it's right here. And I said, please hold it for me. I'm coming to the library. And I look at the library on Google Maps, and it's not too far off of my running route. And I was like, I'll just run and get French Kiss. This will be great. Mm-hmm. And ran to the library, had a library card in my pocket and everything. I was like all prepared for this, with the exception of the fact that I would have to run home with French Kiss in my hand.
Sure.
So just like, and I want to say just like you running with your phone in your hand, because that's even less, that's even more conspicuous. I ran home holding the movie French Kiss.
Yeah.
No one said anything. That was nice of them. And then I watched it. I watched it last night. So for people who don't know...
Yeah, now tell us the plot of French Kiss.
Yeah. French Kiss is about a woman who's at like this precipice in her life where she's about to get married. She's got a house in mind that she wants to buy. She is kind of like planning the rest of her life in this moment, and these very big events are coming about. Now, she has a husband who's got a quick trip to Paris before their wedding. Not a husband, a fiance who's got a quick trip to Paris before their wedding. She hates flying. He wants her to come with him. She doesn't because she's so scared of planes. He goes there and he meets someone else. He meets another woman, says that she's the love of his life, and leaves his fiance. So she braves the plane, gets on it, and goes to Paris to win him back. And in doing so, she runs into this jewel thief from France who is boorish and snooty and rude at first. But then the two of them start to plot together to win him back, and in doing so, they fall in love with each other. That's the basic premise. Right. And I, as far as the game goes, Dan, I will say that this movie is a motherfucking banger.
Yeah!
It's so good, and it holds up so well. Like, it's like I was laughing out loud, which I just don't do in movies or shows when I'm alone. I was laughing out loud at parts. And with the exception of a couple of little things that are a little dated, like Sluck gets used as a pejorative in the movie, and like our protagonist kisses a sleeping woman while she's dreaming of her husband. that kind of stuff. Like, this movie is so good, and everybody in it is wonderful.
Oh, I'm so happy that you feel that way. It's... like all the best romantic comedies, it excels because I think the two main characters are like fully realized individuals who have goals and games to play.
Yeah, it's that you really see the two of them working in the movie too. I mean, I don't know if that French accent is good or not, because I just don't know these things.
Did his accent bother you?
No, it was completely believable to me.
Okay.
I had no trouble believing that this guy was French. And then she was doing things that were... there was just like so much work behind what she was doing. She shows up to find her husband. She shows up at the hotel, and the clerk won't help her. The concierge won't help her. So she tries tipping him, and she just grabs this fistful of French money, and she starts pulling... she pulls out a bill. And before she like starts to hand it to him, she pulls it back and just like looks at it to make sure this is an okay amount to be handing somebody, and then gives it to him. It's not like played for a joke or anything. It's just her being a real person in a foreign country being like, well, hold the fuck on. This is okay. 100 francs. I think that that's okay. Giving it to him. Like, there's all kinds of little stuff. There's he on the plane on the way there. She's kind of like a square, you would say. She's wearing a collar white shirt that she wears the rest of the movie because her luggage gets stolen. But it's buttoned up all the way to the top. And he makes a comment about that and how she's probably bad in bed because she's so buttoned up, literally. And then he goes off to the bathroom. And when he comes back, there's very little detail. Her top button's undone.
She
really took it to heart and like, well, fuck him. And she undoes her top button. And then gradually throughout the rest of the movie, because she's wearing the same fucking outfit the whole movie, the buttons gradually, more and more buttons get undone on the front of the shirt. Now, that's not to say like her breasts are hanging out or anything. She's got a little crop top underneath, but she's undoing, after a little while, there's like two buttons are undone. And then as the days go on, like three buttons and then four. And then the outer shirt comes off and gets tied around the waist. And it's just such like these great little details that no one ever talks about in the movie, but it's still like wonderful to see.
Yeah. I'm so glad you like it.
I know why you like it, too. I know exactly why you like it.
Tell me why I like it.
There is so much in this movie of people saying, you know what your problem is? And then isolating their problem for them. That happens like 6 times in the movie. And I'm like, oh, that Dan wants that so bad in his life.
Here's a thing that is a quote from that movie that I say in my life all the time is, ah, beautiful. And it's Meg Ryan walking around Paris and looking at nice things and just saying, ah, beautiful.
She, first of all, she reminds me so much of Katie Stoll in
really?
That movie. Yeah, like the way she moves, her mannerisms. She has like a friend of the show, Katie Stoll from Crack as well. She looks just at the way that she reacts to things and moves around. It's just so Katie Stoll. And she does this thing throughout the movie where she does play like kind of like a, he's at one point comments on the fact that she walks like a combination of a woman and a child or something like that. And then she walks away from him kind of like swinging her arms. And it's, she's doing such a good job of being this kind of sexless person until she does. There's like this moment where she has to flip a switch because she runs into her ex and she has to prove that she's come through this like crazy emotional wormhole to get to the other side of and become a better person from it. And when she flips, she's so good. Like, she's so good at playing both roles. And it's so subtle in a way that, like, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what she's doing differently. But, God, she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's one other thing that I really... one of the lines that made me really laugh out loud was when she's on the plane with him. With Kevin Klein. And Kevin Klein says, how do you get around? She's terrified of planes. He's like, how do you get around? And she's like nature intended, in a car. And I was like, yeah, that's a good line. Love it. Love it. Anyway, Dan, this movie is a banger, and yes. I encourage everyone to brave your library and go get it because there's literally no other way to watch it.
Yeah. I do think normally I don't pay attention to any social media engagement for the show whatsoever, but as soon as we mentioned French Kiss, a lot of people on Twitter were excited about it.
Yeah, this is apparently a movie that means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
In a way where I didn't anticipate that they like, so many people like turn this on rainy days and they're like, "No, this is my go-to comfort movie." Which yeah, fine. That's good.
Yeah.
There's also the guy from The Professional. What's his name?
Jean Reno?
Yeah, he plays a cop in it.
Yeah.
Who has a history with Kevin Klein that is never fully explained, but sort of loves.
Is he not his brother?
He's not. He's a man who he's at one point Kevin Klein saved his life. We're not really sure how because this cop has a bullet hole in his neck, a scar in his neck from where he was shot, and somehow Kevin Klein is related to that, and Kevin Klein did something to keep him from dying. But we never ever get the details on it, and because he saved his life, this cop really has a long leash for this jewel thief.
I thought they were brothers.
Nope. Okay. No, his brother. So he goes, Kevin Klein goes back to the town where he was born, this bucolic little wine vineyard community. And his brother approaches him there. His brother's rich and owns the vineyard. And they have a fist fight immediately in the street. This is my brother. Is that good? So that's where his brother is. No, okay. The cop is not his brother. The cop is just a guy who likes him a lot and helps him like continue on going on believing that he got away with this crime of stealing this necklace. The sub story of this is that Kevin Klein is trying to start his own vineyard. He has a place in mind picked out. He needs to buy it, but in order to get the money for it, he has stolen this priceless necklace in the United States and is bringing it back to France to sell it. He has put it in Meg Ryan's bag while they're traveling. He's using this woman. And then it ends up getting lost. And he's following her around, trying to get a hold of it and trying to get a hold of her bag while pretending to be her friend until he ends up falling in love with her.
Yeah.
But he's believing up until the very end of the movie that Meg Ryan has helped him get this money. And she said that she would take it into the store for him, the jewel store that, sure, that buys and sells, I guess, and that she would sell it for him. She comes back out with $45,000, but it turns out that she has made a deal with the police officer in which he makes it look, he gets the necklace back, no questions asked, but he's made it look like she's actually traded it in for money. Instead, that $45,000 is her nest egg that she was planning to buy her house with, and she's giving it to Kevin Kline. That part of the movie, in a lot of ways, pissed me off.
Yeah. One, it's all because, superfluous.
Yeah. One, because Kevin Kline doesn't ever realize, he doesn't ever learn, like, oh, don't steal. Stealing is bad, which you don't have to put in your movie, but come on.
Yeah.
He's a thief who's just going to keep being a fucking...
Right. If you set up in Act One, there's a thief. In Act Three, you should say thieving is bad.
Yeah, you have to make that kind of limit message for the audience. But also, that she in the beginning of the movie shows this house that she really wants to buy to her fiance, and she's like, "I didn't tell you this earlier, but since I was 20, I've been putting away money specifically to buy a house someday, and I've got," and she does this big reveal, $45,000. And I was like, oh, fuck you. You're going to buy a house for $45,000? Manly Bands helps men find wedding bands that fit their personality and their budget with unique and stylish designs. You start the process with Manly Bands by getting their Manly Ring Sizer to ensure that the fit is exactly right on your ring. You can't just order a ring, and let's be honest, guys, you do not know what size ring you should be wearing. How often are you measuring your finger? I said finger. How often are you measuring it? Not often, I don't imagine. And it's tough to do. But thankfully, Manly Bands has an app that you use, and it tells you exactly the type of ring you should be getting. Once you know your size, then comes the fun of choosing from a wide selection of materials like meteorite, carbon fiber, antlers, Damascus steel, even dinosaur bone, to determine what sort of materials you want in your ring. If you're feeling creative, you can customize your band from scratch too. Just choose the style, material, inlay, the sleeve, engraving, and finish. If those words don't mean anything to you right now, don't worry, it's not daunting. You go to the site, it walks you through it very easily. Once you've selected your band, you get free shipping worldwide, a 30-day exchange policy, and a free warranty. Also, if that all wasn't enough, you also get a free silicone band. It's a nice little black ring you wear on that same finger if you're ever going to be doing something so active that you don't want to rip your own finger off with the metal. I myself have a Manly band. I got one called the Architect because, I don't know, there's just something so great about architects. I feel like that's the dream job in every rom-com for the guy, right? When a woman finds out that he's an architect, she swoons a little. And I thought, well, maybe I could project that on the world. And so I got it. And honestly, I love my ring. I think it's sleek. I think it's well designed. I think it makes my hand look nice. And honestly, it's so light, I forget I'm wearing it a lot. A lot lighter than my wedding ring. I don't want to think about the metaphorical implications of that. I do like wearing it, though. To get 25% off your Manly Band now through Cyber Monday, go to manlybands.com/QQ or use promo code QQ at checkout. That's manlybands.com/QQ or with promo code QQ for 25% off through Cyber Monday. We want to give our family and friends something more memorable than a gift card this holiday season, but it can be tough to think of a meaningful gift. We want to give something useful yet unique, cool, eco-friendly, if it shakes out that way, techy, but actually affordable. Well, say hello to the Hello Tushy. I mean, you don't have to because it already has hello in the name, but you get what I'm saying. This bidet ticks all of those boxes. Buying for a lot of family members? Hello Tushy bidets are a great gift for your eco-conscious cousin, your neat freak sister, your IBS dad, anyone who poops, and that's everybody. We all deserve a better clean while contributing to a healthier planet. So let's talk about the gift that keeps on giving, the Hello Tushy bidet. It's like a book in that regard. It cleans your butt way better than wiping, cuts your toilet paper use down by 80%, saves trees and thousands of gallons of water that's used to convert them into toilet paper as well, and it comes with a book full of poop jokes. Oh, I was just talking about how a book is a gift that keeps on giving. And now the Hello Tushy is giving you both a book and the Hello Tushy bidet. My butt is in love. I use my Hello Tushy bidet every morning because I'm regular and that's when I go. And I just love knowing that throughout the rest of the day, I'm set. I'm great. Whether I'm going to pick my son up at school and he's feeling a little shy that day and he's just shoving his nose into my butt while grabbing onto my leg or whatever else I might be doing that day, I am fresh as a spring day, my friends. Stop spreading your business around your butthole with toilet paper. Start washing with Hello Tushy. It washes your bum with fresh water for a way better clean than toilet paper. Simply spray and pat dry. It attaches to your existing toilet, so there's no electrician or a plumber needed, and it cuts down your toilet paper by 80%. I can't stress that enough. It's saving money and paper waste. Join the millions of Hello Tushy customers who take care of their Yule logs in the dignified way. Wink, wink. Give the gift of a clean bum to yourself or your loved ones this holiday season and get 10% off plus free shipping right now at hellotushy.com/QQ. hellotushy.com/QQ.
Can I ask, what is your favorite rom-com? Question, favorite rom-com.
Yeah, it's actually another one that you turned me on to. It's About Time.
That's not a rom-com.
Wait. In Time. In Time?
What's no, About Time is the name of the movie you want to say. Yeah. But it's not, I don't think that's a rom-com. I think that's a movie about love between a father and son.
Kind of.
Okay.
I mean, so much of the movie is not about Bill Nighy, though. So much of a lot of it is about him trying to find a woman and using his powers of traveling through time to gain the love of a woman.
Sure. What does your wife think of that movie?
I don't think she's seen it. I'm not allowed to choose About Time.
No.
What is yours? Don't say Love Actually.
Why?
Because that movie fucking sucks, Dan.
Okay.
Speak a different. That movie is bad. It's bad in a lot of ways. That's not a banger. That's a movie you would go back to and you'd be like, oh no, this is pretty problematic.
I think then if I'm not allowed to pick Love Actually, I think I would pick You've Got Mail.
Okay. I'm only like peripherally aware of that movie. I've seen pieces of it because I had HBO as a kid. That's a good one, huh?
Have you not seen it?
Well, I've seen pieces of it. Yeah. I know a lot about it. I know that they're rival bookstore owners, that he's putting her out of business, that he's got this ability to, when he's angry, to be as cutting as you could possibly want to be against your enemy. Like his words, he can say exactly the thing that will cut you down, and she doesn't have that ability. And then he says, well, count yourself lucky because you end up burning a lot of bridges that way. I know the scene where he introduces his son to her and the son does that little kid wave, and I love it and I'm charmed by it. And that they meet on a bridge at the end.
Yeah. I don't, what do you mean? They meet at a bridge at the end?
Yeah, they meet on a bridge.
I don't think they do.
That's where she finds out who he is, right? She doesn't. She's only been exchanging letters with
him. I think they hang out at a park.
Oh, shit. Well, it's like okay. A little bridge. A little like over a stream.
Why are you trying to salvage this?
Because I fucking think I'm right. I don't know why it matters. It doesn't. I don't know why I'm hanging my hat on this. I have not seen the movie.
Okay.
So that's a good one. Okay.
Don't have a lot of fondness for romantic comedies, it sounds like.
No. No. I've seen a lot of them. I've seen a lot of them that I do not like.
Yeah.
And very, very few that I think are great. Does Roxanne count?
Yeah.
Okay, I love that one.
That's Steve Martin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think I liked The Truth About Cats and Dogs. That's Jeanine Garofalo and Uma Thurman.
Garofalo?
Yes. But yeah, in general, I wouldn't ever start scanning through a streaming service and be like, okay, let's settle in for a movie. What am I in the mood for? Let's do a rom-com. It's never occurred to me.
Have you ever wanted to write one?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, but it would be crossed with another genre.
Okay.
It would never just be a true rom-com. I don't think I'd... I don't know. There's just like this... You have to get over the cloyingness of it just to like take it seriously enough to make it good. And I don't think I could ever do that. It would always be very tongue-in-cheek. Doesn't the love seem silly in those? Doesn't it seem like we're projecting some idea onto the world without ever actually perceiving it?
I mean, I guess I feel like rom-coms are a wonderful space where you just accept one major truth, which is that love is like a real magical thing,
yeah,
that supersedes everything. And you don't get that kind of latitude in any other movie that you do. Everything else is earned. Everything else is X leads to Y leads to Z. But in rom-coms, it's just like, no, they're in love and love is magic, period. So everything else in the movie is either an obstacle to love or something working the protagonist's to their end game of getting married in a dramatic fashion.
That's really well put, Dan.
Is it?
Yeah. That's not something I had ever really considered before, but you're absolutely right. The conceit of love is more powerful than anything, and the goal of a character doesn't ever have to be earned in a story. It's always just implied.
Yeah.
No, love is the best. That's what you have to reach for. And we're all just... Audiences are like, no, we get it. We don't need a huge backstory on why love is important for this particular person.
Yeah, that's... Did you see... there's a trailer for a movie called Marry Me that came out today. Did you see that trailer?
Obviously not.
Really?
No.
It's a Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson movie.
I have not seen the trailer for this.
And I watched the trailer, and the trailer fucking breaks its neck getting me on board for a movie where Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson marry each other. I'm like, you don't need to do any of this. I'm fine. It's okay. I want to see these two people get married and work it out.
Have you heard of a movie called Practical Magic, Dan?
Is that Sarah Michelle Gellar?
No, Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Wow.
It's a movie about... You know what? I think it's the same writer as French Kiss. Let me see. Writer Adam Brooks. Let me see what else he's done. Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the same. Let me see. Definitely, maybe. What else have you done?
Are they're cooks, right?
Practical Magic. No, that is the Sarah Michelle Gellar one that you're thinking of. And that's like Love is Like Chocolate or something like that. No, Practical Magic is a story about these two women who are cursed, these sisters who are cursed, that any guy who, I can't remember if it's they fall in love with or who falls in love with them, will immediately die.
Wow.
And yeah, and the world will just conspire to kill this guy. And it's not like they just drop dead. It's like things actually happen. It's like Final Destination type of deaths. Like the world finds a way to kill this guy.
That's what those movies are about?
Well, not love. Those movies are people have escaped death and they didn't get on a plane when they should have, and death is like, okay, well, it was still your turn, so now I will find ways to kill you. And it kills them in the order in which they should have died on the plane.
Okay. But so does the protagonist of Practical Magic find love at the end?
Yeah, they find it lasting love. Yeah, the elevator pitch is two witch sisters raised by their eccentric aunts in a small town face closed-minded prejudice and a curse which threatens to prevent them from ever finding lasting love. And by the end of the movie, Sarah Michelle Gellar. I can't remember if Nicole Kidman does, but Sarah Michelle Gellar. Fuck you, dude. Sandra Bullock does fall in love and I think breaks the curse. And it's a great movie. I think you should watch it.
Okay.
And come back to me and tell me if it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, but then what do you qualify a movie like Closer as?
Closer? This is maybe a weird thing about me. Closer in my brain is a play. I know they made a movie of it, but it's a play. And that puts it in a separate category in my brain.
Yeah, they don't have to play by the same genre rules. Fuck, that does work really well as a play. That's good. That's good. This is why we're friends, Dan.
Yeah.
You're giving what me is, lots of reasons today. okay, well, I think that's our show. I think I can go here and find our... How to contact us. Tell us how much you like French Kiss. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question and also ask them any questions at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ@SorenandDaniel@gmail.com. And you can perhaps catch a glimpse of our sound engineer and editor and producer, Gabe, out in the wild. But don't bother going to GabeHarder.com because it has not changed since we started doing this podcast.
It actually has changed now. not in a good way. I just got an email the other day that I no longer own the website again.
You lost it again. Yeah. You lost it again. It slipped through your fingers the second time.
Yeah.
Oh, Gabe. I'm sorry that happened.
Hey, it's okay. One of these days.
Finish that sentence. All right, bye.